welcome to the ABC edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're discussing General Hospital's ratings falling out from under it, Kish kisses on One Life to Live on August 6th, and how to save all my children in one tweet or less. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie, welcome.
Hey.
Mel, is this your first ABC episode?
No.
That was like second or third.
Okay. 15. I think it's Jillian's possibly. But welcome, Mel.
Hello.
And welcome, Jillian.
Guess who's back, people?
And welcome, Bernard.
Hello, everybody.
Well, let's discuss the soaps. Jamie, you had an interesting concept that you posted on the blog this last week that had a lot of good reaction from fans, and that was how to save your favorite soap in one tweet or less. For the purpose of this discussion, well, since All My Children could be argued to be the worst of the three ABC soaps, let's apply it to All My Children. How would you save All My Children in one tweet or less?
Well, yeah, this basically arose from me having these conversations on my Twitter, which I'm becoming addicted to. AMC, what I tweeted was Fire Pratt and Crap Others, trademark Pine Valley Podcast for Crap Others. Bring back Binks, Reese, Binks and Reese. I'm having to reread it because, you know, that Twitter doesn't lend itself to being grammatically correct if you're trying to get it all in there. So I said, bring back Binks and Reese. Make Kendall more Erica Kane-esque, glam, fun, bitchy. Bring back Laura to LaunchTempo.com. Now, this was all off the cuff of my top of my head. Now, to elaborate with, you know, since we're not on Twitter and we have a little leg room, firing Pratt and Crap Others isn't the only thing they have to do, because basically the last three or four regimes have been terrible with this show. So they need to find someone, you know, I think two writers, one that gets the history of the show and then one that gets how to make a show hot again. You know, maybe Pratt wouldn't be as bad since he understands that kind of stuff with someone, you know, like a Sri Rao or that Windsor guy that once wrote After Agnes Sinks. I don't even know if he's still alive or not. I don't know. But I mean, the storyline stuff, it's like Bianca is the reason Pratt's ratings are better than the rest of them, because they're still coasting on that Bianca and Reese triangle. It spiked the ratings and people stayed tuned in, even though I don't know why.
Wait a minute. Didn't you read that memo from Chuck Pratt? The reason why the storyline sucks is because of that damn troublemaking Eden Regal. Where you been?
Yeah, that's also why he's not working in primetime. Yeah, making Kendall more Erica-esque. I've always thought that Kendall should be more like her mother instead of this bull in a china shop strutting around like, I don't know, like a woman on GH. I mean, Kendall should be more glamorous and fun and feminine and bitchy, in my opinion. I've never really felt that with this Kendall. I think Sarah's Kendall would have been that way, but I love Alicia Minshew, but I just don't like how they write Kendall. So I don't know, like she just came in from a bar or a brothel. And with Tempo.com, I'm like, bring back Brooke English and cast a really great person to play her daughter, Laura, the adopted daughter, maybe Erin Hershey, and like have her start Tempo.com and make Tempo Trash Fusion and start, you know, a feud between Erica and Brooke's daughters, or maybe even make them friends to mix it up. I mean, there's ways to propel a show to a next generation while honoring the former. But I'm looking at that show and I'm seeing a broke down wannabe Edge of Night with these stupid murder mysteries. And, you know, it's just not what I thought of when I first tuned in to All My Children.
Bernard, how do you save All My Children in one tweet or less?
One tweet or less. Yeah, Pratt has to go. That kind of sums it up for me. I wouldn't elaborate beyond that. I think Jamie's suggestions are fantastic, but structurally speaking, I don't think that a more apt description has been made than a broke down, janky Edge of Night. I just look at All My Children and I just shake my head when I'm not nodding off. That's all I got, to be honest with you.
Well, Jillian, Mel, do either of you watch All My Children? I know that Mel's new to One Life to Live, but are you? I know that before you've said you can only make it through like 7 minutes. I guess I'm answering my own question. 8 minutes, Mel. Were you able to make it through 8 minutes of All My Children this last week?
I do not watch that mess. No, no. But I do have to say, what's her name? Amanda and Jake, I believe he's called on this soap. They're really cute.
Jillian, do you watch?
Colin, I gave up on that show a minute ago. I can't put myself through that. If I have to watch, it's a toss-up. As the World Turns, All My Children. I can't watch them both. I can't put myself through both. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to do that to myself. No.
No, I was going to say, I did tweet something about All My Children. I think it was earlier this week. That I think I said that watching All My Children is the soap equivalent of waterboarding.
I just don't know why they have that little girl on there in the middle of this stupid murder mystery. You know, this poor little kid, you know, I had nightmares about Ronald McDonald when I was a kid. And this little girl has to come on this show and announce over and over again, I saw Kendall kill Stewart. It's like, who's writing this? No one wants to see a child involved in this debauchery.
Well, Kendall killed Stewart.
That was the line, the line that she said that I actually just cracked up, as horrible as it was. I have to tell Mommy that I saw Kendall shoot up little A's uncle.
Yeah, I'm like, and these little kids are so good. They're good actors, but it's like, you know, do they have an on-set child psychologist with this stuff? I mean, these people are just obscene.
Well, we got a few comments because there was tons of discussion on Jamie's post, and I would encourage you to check it out. We'll link to it in the post. Simon Stewart wrote, AMC, get rid of Randy, Marissa, Ryan, and Annie. Bring Angie and Jesse to the front burner. End Zendel. David needs to get his karma. Crystal needs to leave town and come back to L.A. I'm assuming she's referring to Bold and the Beautiful. I wrote
Bobby Eakes told me to tell her thanks, but no thanks. She's gotten better stuff. I have to give that to AMC. I watched her for 20 years on BMB. She had better stuff in her first year on AMC than she had the whole run of her time on Bold and the Beautiful. Macy was a wet blanket.
My one tweet of how to improve All My Children was massacre killing of Ryan, Aiden, Randy, Marissa, Annie, Scott, recast Colby, Liza, Petey, and Frankie, and bring back Sky, the Andrazi family, and Brooke. I figure that works. And then we had one other, well, we had more than one, but I'm going to read one more. L. Bunchen writes, AMC, return Brooke, Dixie, lose Annie, Aiden, Randy, Marissa, recast Petey and Colby, bring Stewart, Julia, Greenlee's alive, return of the Santos family.
Oh, you would mention Greenlee.
This last week, Jake revealed to Amanda that Liza doesn't really have her baby. What do you think, Bernard?
I thought that Chrishell's spouse was amazing. I thought that she brought it. Like Jillian said, I really felt for her. The plot twist, however, as welcome as it was, felt like so much of All My Children these days. It felt like, okay, well, you piled on something else that has to be untangled before you've untangled 237 other dangling ends. And I liked the twist itself, but I'm like, okay, how are y'all going to get out of this? And that's all I could just keep thinking during the whole thing.
Why are the Martins, who have battled Palmer Courtland and Adam Chandler for decades, afraid of a neurosurgeon? Or what kind of doctor is David? Why is he so all-inspiring of this fear?
Is he a cardiologist?
Because Dixie had that broken heart he had to keep fixing while he screwed her. But it's like, why is Tad, who battled Adam and his brother, so afraid that they have to... Tad didn't fake JR's death to keep him and Dixie safe away from Adam. They have to fake a death from David? I mean, come on. He's not that menacing. I mean, Tad buried a man alive. I mean, why are the Martins afraid of this guy like that?
Oh, I agree. Did it seem to you, Jamie, when watching those scenes, that Ricky Paul Golden had a hard time trying to deliver those lines about how he kept Amanda's baby from her and just let her in on the secret audit. He even looked just
uncomfortable. He was trying his best to sell that sack of boo-boo. Nobody needed any fertilizer. There's a thing in writing, you have to have stakes. The stakes are not being conveyed to me. I mean, this girl, Amanda, ain't no joke either. Her mama is Janet from another planet. Mm-hmm. All she has to do is go let her mama out of jail and out of the nut house, and David Hayworth won't know what hit him.
Mama, run this. Run this, mama.
I mean, she'll put him in a freezer next to that girl's daddy. I mean, I just don't
understand. Uncle Porkchop.
I don't understand why David is invoking so much fear throughout all of Pine Valley. David
is Chuck Pratt's version, a female version, in my opinion, of Kimberly from Melrose Place. That's all that is. That's Kimberly, but as a dude.
Well, see, I think he thinks Annie is his Kimberly, like the psycho that's so much fun to write for, which I think he thinks of David like a Peter Burns or a Michael Mancini, like he's definitely borrowing from his Melrose Place Bible, but it's like, I don't know. It's like, I don't get it. I don't know why Jake and Tad and Joe and Crystal and Angie and Jesse and everyone has to be afraid of David. It's so stupid, and it's not.
Angie and Jesse scared of David? Yes, oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Angie stands up to him, but nobody ever gets to beat David anymore. It's like he wins at every,
maybe he has the Victor Newman contract.
I was just going to say that.
I mean, I love Vincent Irizarry. Loved him on Guiding Light, but he does not have that Adam Chandler, Victor Newman, all-powerful, enigmatic villain thing. He doesn't have it. I don't buy these.
He's a second tier villain.
You just put him.
I'm sorry. I agree with you. And I was thinking about David. What makes him so untenable this time around is that Pratt doesn't write David in blurred shades of gray. You know, one minute David is the mustache twirler. The next minute, he's a completely different person. He's mourning the loss of his 287 children. Then the next minute, you know, he's trying to woo Crystal back. And then the next minute, he's a semi-abusive abuser. And it's just and there's no subtext. And Irizarry doesn't play it with subtext. I love him too, and I think he's great, and I think that he does everything that he's asked of him to do, but it's like he's asked to play 30 characters in one, and often in one episode.
Well, I wish he could mourn Marissa. I wish he could mourn Marissa real soon. There's no need for that girl. I don't believe those Chandler boys are going to fight for that girl. I don't believe it. Not to save my life. I just don't understand the storyline. She's milquetoast and mealy-mouthed. I just don't care. If they hit her in the head with a sledgehammer.
To me, that they're doing like GH's version of Faux Emily with Lucky and Nicholas at first fighting for Nobeka. That's all that is. That's AMC's version of it. But blech.
Jamie, last week you had mentioned on the Performer of the Week that you weren't too happy with the actress who plays the character of Randy. Did you see any improvement this last week?
No.
Well, I just
assuredly did not see any improvement. She's just not the one to hang a murder mystery on. That baby doesn't know where she's at. She doesn't even know she's in New York City. You know, somebody just needs to tell her to smile and look pretty at the camera, and that's about it. I mean, no.
Bernard, is it too much that there's two murder mysteries going on at once on the show?
It's too much that they have one. I don't understand the reasoning behind having, you know, the second murder mystery, which really doesn't seem to be much of one, on top of the stalled-out, herky-jerky, who-killed-Stewart mystery going on. It's too much. And I would be on board if those mysteries were written consistently, if there was forward momentum. Is because with a mystery, you need to have forward momentum. You need to have the accumulation of clues, the suspects being ruled out or ruled in a fairly consistent way. And it's like, what, 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, it just seemed like they dropped all of that.
Well, I'm going to tell y'all what happened. I'm going to tell y'all from not my guessing from my knowledge of inside stuff of what was going to happen. The original plan was for Amanda to be revealed as Stuart's killer, that Amanda would have killed him thinking it was Adam, and that was going to be how Chrishell Stouse exited the show. Well, because they realized she and Ricky Paul Golden are the only draw they have, they begged her to stay, and so they've scrambled to try to rewrite the end of the storyline, and they don't have an ending. Chuck Pratt, I know this from other storylines from Intel. Chuck Pratt doesn't have storylines mapped out to the. He doesn't write a. You know, when most people write a story bible, you know, they write. It's just like you write a novel for each character. You write the beginning, middle, end of an arc. He is making this shit up as he goes along, and it shows. He doesn't know. I've heard several actors on that show say that when they've asked him, "Well, what's going to happen?" I don't know yet. It's amazing. You used to have a story bible when you got hired to write soaps. But when your friends hire you, you don't have to have a story bible, and you can be allowed to make things up on a multi-million dollar product as you go along. It's ridiculous.
No, he doesn't sound like Ellen Wheeler. He sounds like Gene passed the salami with that joint, right? Damn. Like, they go to the same school, they're sharing the same brain, they may be the same person. Who knew?
Now he tells in the press he says he has a story bible, but he doesn't. No, that's just
okay.
Me.
So that's
allegedly. Let me put it allegedly in there, but yeah, he doesn't have a story bible.
Mel, one person who
Ruth Martin might be the killer if a fly.
One person that we believe has a story bible, because at least we see stories playing out on our screens, is Ron Carlovati and Frank Valentini.
They try.
Yes.
This last week before the podcast, and I had mentioned this on the blog, but you were really liking Todd, Taya, and John McBain.
No, I said Todd, Taya, and Blair, but we can throw John in.
Okay.
No.
I'll add in the John McBain. We'll throw in Blair and turn it into a quad. How about that?
Wah, 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 wah. Let's do that. I really like, you know, Todd and Blair was in there having sex, and here comes Taya, like, who is this? Taya walked in on that shit and was like, oh, hell no. She grabbed a handful of Todd and brought him down.
I gotta watch that on my DVR.
It was the bomb. And then, of course, Todd comes up here. Taya, wait, Taya, let me explain. And Taya's like, no, I'm not having this mess. And she gave him a little bit, and of course, she broke down a little bit because she actually does love Todd.
Gave him the business.
No, she didn't.
Oh,
she didn't. Because she was like, I'm through with you. I'm through. I'm done. I can't take this anymore. It was kind of like, my heart can't take this anymore. And Blair's jealous because she wants Todd, too. And that's like the kind of twist of the storyline is they actually all do love each other. But we can't have certain couples because nobody can decide who they actually want.
I thought Dorian had a great scene when she had the bed taken out to either be burned or disposed of after the the deed was done.
This room must be fumigated. Yeah, that crap was funny.
Now, I gotta watch. Oh man.
Well, and then afterwards, Tay went to the shooting range and put some bullets through a picture of Todd's head. And for once, I actually liked John McBain in this scene. It's a very rare occasion, but I did think that he and Taya had some chemistry.
And I was like, feeling her.
I am feeling Taya. She said, "Oh hell no, I'm a bust a cap and Todd. I'm just gonna gear up for practice." Oh, I love it. Love it.
Jamie, Nelson reported in the Suds Report that Fish and Kyle are going to kiss on August 6th. It looks like they may be making more progress than The Young and the Restless with Rafe and Adam.
It looks like? Are you kidding me? They're actually telling a real storyline, and it's not just, I hate the phrase, black storyline, gay storyline. The gay characters on the show are actually getting a decent storyline. And I'm just riveted by the whole... all of it. I mean, I'm riveted by Fish's struggle to prove that he's straight by getting him some chocolate with Layla. You know, Fish sitting up there looking at the picture, you know, putting salt in his game, you know, hating on him, basically like, well, you better tell your girl something up with him. You know, it's just all organic. It's realistic. It makes sense. It's like a tale as old as time. No microchips, no anything, just normal stuff that people actually do go through in real life. Imagine that. scripted, you know, and it's not so much a competition, but yeah, they are kicking the bootay of all the other gay stories in daytime, including Atalia. Atalia have amazing chemistry, and they should be amazing and would be amazing if allowed to be amazing, but they're not allowed to be amazing. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, Atalia is starting to feel very much like Luke and Noah and Bianca and Maggie and all the gay stories before, where, yes, they get these enormous fan followings because of the amazing acting, but the powers that be will never let them even have a hint of, and it's all bullshit and hyperbole, and we're just not rushing it, and we're not, well, she's a Catholic. Catholics don't screw when they're not married either. That's against their religion, too. So she screwed Frank, you know, she broke up Gus's marriage. I mean, that's all against Catholicism, too. This is all
rushing it. Okay.
This is all about them being lesbians and them not wanting to let them have intimacy. And they need to stop lying to people. How many times are people going to let people lie to them and they believe it? Oh, we're just not going to rush it because of her Catholic faith. Well, she rushed into bed with Frank, and she rushed and tore up Harley's marriage. She didn't have any problems with that. But
well,
she...
and for those of you ABC fans who don't watch Guiding Light, needless to say, Otalia is being short-sheeted when it comes to their story.
Yeah, well, and it's the same old stuff the ABC fans know. We're not going to rush it with Bianca and Maggie. We want to establish a friendship, and we're going to give Bianca Zarf, and it's still going to be a gay story for her, right? No, it's the same old stuff, but with Kyle and Fish, we're not seeing that so far. We're seeing organic story develop. You know, they we'll see once they kiss. You know, I'm sure the, you know, that one religious person who monitors all the soaps will alert the troops as soon as it oh Lord in heaven,
One Life to Live's ratings will go up.
Oh, I'm sure it will. I hope it will. I mean, it.
I was going to say, I like that scene where Fish and Layla were having dinner and that waiter wanted his vagina. It was funny.
Bernard, weigh in real quick on the Fish and Kyle storyline and then talk to me about what you thought of the Marasco fiasco and Rex facing down Stacy for the blood.
As far as Kish is concerned, I like him a lot. I do think it's interesting from, you know, looking at the comics that they developed a fan following before their story even really kicked off. But from what I'm seeing on screen, I again agree with Mr. Giddens. It's just a very natural progression that's going on there. And the other thing that I like is, like so many of the other characters in Landview on One Life to Live, they're not the sole exception. You know, they're not the thumb sticking out. They're integrated with the rest of the canvas. Even though they don't have familial connections, they actually are, you know, a part of the fabric of Landview. And so their story is not just organic to each other because they touch other people either in good ways or bad ways. They're a part of that community. And it makes it a lot easier to buy them than on some of the other soaps where even long-standing characters still feel like they're out on an island.
So and, then how does that compare then to the Stacy fiasco?
What, the gay story?
Well, no, the fact that she's another one of those characters who doesn't, I mean, she has a familial connection, but her integration is done well, but the story isn't coming off well.
Well, I don't even know what to say about that. That's one big old pile of doo-doo that's hard to step over, particularly when it's in your face three days out of the week. But I thought that the confrontation scenes were alternately long overdue and unintentionally hilarious. There was one moment when Rex had Stacy pushed up against those furs, and he looked like he was about to knock her lights out. And was like really the first time she looked scared. Crystal Hunt looked like she was like, "Oh my God, don't hit me!" And I'm like thinking John Paul Lavoisier wants to knock her out because he got to play this shit. But for the most part, And that's not saying I'm condoning that. I mean, like, that's just a thought that ran through my mind at the time. But, you know, it's alternately silly. It's gone on too long. It drives me up the wall, because it could really be a good story, but it's just told really badly. And Crystal Hunt has not been helping it at all. She is like, with Jamie made a comment about All My Children being sort of a low rent Edge of Night. For the old Edge of Night fans out there, Gigi is like a low rent Nora Fulton, who is just as crazy, just as kooky, who pulled most of the same stunts that Stacy had, with the exception of stealing Red Cross blood. But other than that, she's just like that girl. And that's just for the Edge of Night fans who know who Nora Fulton was. But for those who don't, it's just exasperating, and I'll be glad when they move on to the next phase, which probably is going to be a murder somewhere down the road.
Let's hope so. Another person who I'd like to see murdered is on General Hospital. I'll take Ethan or Rebecca. It doesn't really matter which one. Jillian, you had asked the question of whether or not they're even relevant.
No. I asked if they were, if the storyline was relevant talking on the podcast. That's what I meant. As someone who just chimed back into the GH orbit from a seventh-month sabbatical, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, look, I don't like this boy as Luke Light. I don't like Junior Luke. He got to go. He got to raise up off my TV screen. They're trying to make him become a junior version of Luke. That was always Lucky until they decided to change that into another course and another direction. And then Lulu was pretty much the female version of Luke. And now, just to fit this kid in on the canvas, they make him a baby Luke. I don't like it. I don't think so. It needs to go. Rebecca, again, she's another one. Either make her Emily or make her dead. I think it's just abysmal. And for them to just try to say that Nicholas only, the only person that Nicholas will ever truly love is a clone of Emily, I think it's just creepy. And for that girl to be giving him her cat trap every night just so, you know, so she could get some money off of Nicholas, it's just a disservice. It's just, ugh. Those two are just all shades of wrong. I'm just waiting for Elena to come with her big old butcher knife and stab him up and just disappear into the night with her Manolo Blahniks in tow. I don't like it. I don't want to like it. I'm not going to like it. There.
Jamie, do you think that's contributing to the fact that General Hospital hit an all-time low?
I think a lot of things are contributing to that. But yeah, I think, you know, breaking up Nicholas with, what was that little girl's name?
Claire Coffey's character.
Yeah. Shit. What was her name?
Nadine.
Nadine. Yeah. You know, I liked Nick and Nadine. I guess I didn't prove it by not. But, you know, that's how it was. It was like as soon as they got to be okay, you know, this is what GH did a couple of months ago. I mean, well, not going on about 6 months ago. Brian Franz came in there. We know the story at this point, allegedly. And he just, like, made a big shift in everything. You know, we're going to break up Liaison. We're going to bring back Natalia Livingston. We're going to put Nicholas back. And it's none of it has worked. It's like old home week, and none of it has worked. You know, no, but it's a lot of stuff contributing to those ratings. There's no heart and soul on this show anymore. It's got GH is still okay. I'm gonna have to defend them for a little bit because ratings don't prove quality. GH is by far not the worst soap on ABC.
Oh no,
not even on ABC. It's miles ahead of All My Children. It's miles ahead of the PNG soaps. You know, but it has its
miles ahead of Bold and the Beautiful too.
Yeah, I mean GH is not. I mean it's the ratings are just indicative of. I think the ratings. One of the things that's like really telling about these ratings is that it's always been that GH is ABC's favorite soap. They, you know, they
the golden child.
Yeah, they earned that right for many, many years, decades even. But you know, this last 6 months, they've not earned that right. All the money that's been spent on GH, you know, the triumvirate of no pay cuts and stuff, but you got Susan, you know, all these other people, but GH, which is much more expensive to produce, is not even, you know, beating out One Life to Live, which is the ugly stepchild. And One Life to Live is, is kicking ass with what they're the little soap that could. I mean, you know, well, none of the soaps are kicking ass. Let's just be real. But it's beating its two competitors, and it's beating it in quality, too, and that should matter. And, you know, GH, you know, just got through watching the marathon, and it's just Sonny is not what he used to be. Sonny has always been a male chauvinist, but he was always charismatic and sexy with it, you know, with the women in his life. Now, every time I tune into this show, Sonny is barking at women like, I mean, it's become, when I first used to get on the message boards and I'd see this, people saying this, I'd be like, Sonny's not that bad as people make him out to be. Now it's like they've written down to people's expectations. I mean, he just barks at women and calls them whores, and, you know, yeah, he would call a woman a whore like every 3 or 4 months when he got mad at one. But now, I mean, there was tons of romance and the island and the dresses and the, you know, the dimples and the grinning at them. And yeah, but now he goes over to Olivia's house and say, mumbling basically.
He's Victor Jr. on that show too. Oh, hell no.
You want this, you know, you want me. I got a bitch knocked up, but you know you want me. I mean, it's just so vulgar and tacky. I mean, what does Bob Guza think he's writing? I won't even say Sopranos. I mean, he thinks he's writing one of those direct-to-DVD rap gangster videos. I mean, movie things that they try to do, starring Snoop Dogg or something. It's just ugly and vulgar.
Snoop Dogg say don't do that to him.
Well,
starring Master P.
Yeah, I mean, it's just these. It's GH. It's just their leads. You know, I liked some of the teen stuff. I loved the karaoke this week. Loved the karaoke.
Oh, the karaoke.
Oh, yeah.
But their A story with Sonny and Claudia is vulgar. It's vulgar and it's stupid. And it's like, get this. I mean, I hate Claudia. I hate this character. I can't wait for her to be riddled with bullets on the pier. You know, I love Sarah Brown. I mean, but this is just the most vulgar, ugly characterization of a woman they've ever shown on ABC daytime. I mean, I hope I'm not reaching, but this is just, she's playing a gutter snipe whore that has no loyalties, is damaged. I mean, the only thing that could redeem this character is like a knight in shining armor type character. She needs a Jax, not that Jax, but she needs someone to come in and make her feel good about herself, like a decent human being.
How would you like her with Nicholas? Would you like her with Nicholas?
Oh, that boy, that Tyler Christopher acts like he has the motivation of a paralyzed slug. I mean, he doesn't even bring anything. He is so bored in what he does.
Maybe he's bored with regurgitating this Emily. Whole Emily and Nicholas thing, because I'm sure as hell was.
Well, you know what? I have to cite my girl here. I'm sure Kim Zimmer had plenty of chances to be bored, but she still comes to work every day.
And she walked through paintings.
It's the most ridiculous. I don't care if they're bored. Don't show me you're bored on my
true,
TV.
Because
you're cashing a check.
Jillian, I wanted to ask you about something, because before the podcast, you had mentioned it. Christina's storyline, the teen abuse storyline, what do you think?
I am just befuddled because I'm on the, like, when I say that, I mean, I'm verklempt. I'm on one side of the spectrum. I'm like, you know, they're bringing relevance to teens being, teens can have abusive relationships. We all know that. We've seen the statistics. We've seen Oprah do the talk shows on it. We've seen other talk shows do things on it. But at the same time, this kid knows damn well your mother is the DA. This kid knows who your dad is. And he's still going around throwing his weight and slapping the shit out of Christina and bullying Michael, not thinking one of them will be like, you know what, I'm going to make one phone call and in 2 minutes you're about to get God. I'm just confused on that. I'm really confused on that. I can see this.
I have a different take on it.
Okay, well,
although you're right, Jillian, but I think there's another take that, and this all depends on whether or not Guza and the writers sort of bring up that Christina, from a different perspective, might be in the prime position for this type of storyline, because she's got Alexis, who is this high-powered, intensely driven mother who definitely loves her children, but she has always had a thing for not just bad boys, but some of the most dangerous men that have popped through Port Charles in the last 15 years. And Christina has not escape that at all. And then on the other hand, she's got her father who is a misogynist, and he employs all types of double standards, and he's got all these kids running around over there, but in her eyes doesn't necessarily pay her any attention, despite the reasons that, you know, we've been told all the time. And so it's possible that Christina could be at that point where, you know, the only way that she sees that she can get attention is through violence.
But you know what?
Violence is a natural part of relationships, even though I'm not saying that that's how they're playing it. I'm saying that is set up and built in for them to play it that way.
This type of storyline would be okay for me if, A, Sonny's A story wasn't all about violence against women, because, yeah, he doesn't hit women. They love to make that point. He doesn't hit women, but he does yell at them and call them filthy, scum-sucking whores, and that's violence. I'm sorry. And you've got the A, B, C, D stories are all violent, so the teen story has to be violent, too. It's just too much. And if there would have been some setup, like Jackie on Roseanne, you know, if we see Jackie fall in love with that guy, Fisher, that, you know, then everybody
she's
got a younger man. And, you know, because Roseanne was a comedic soap opera, you know, but we like them. That's more real life. Let's see her fall for the dream boy, and then he hit her a couple, you know. Let's not just have it the first, wasn't this this boy's first week?
Well, not that, technically, but well, that close to it.
And then he just pops the girl out in the face when she,
you know, at the same, you know, I understand you with that, but then, you know, when you bring up Alexis is also, I am woman, hear me roar. She's always trying to instill that with her girls. So it's kind of hard to believe that an offspring of Alexis would sit there and take that. I could see if it was a situation, what you said, Jamie, if the boy was the boy next door, everybody loves him, and then it just slowly deteriorates. Not all of a sudden he putting her in a headlock at the pool and then shut up and you stupid one and your gangster daddy and bitch slapping her because she don't want to give him none. It just befuddles me with that. I can see her taking the verbal abuse because as much as Sonny tries to shield his kids from that, they still end up seeing that. We remember Michael trying to buy Sam off when Sam was a threat to
smart boy.
You know, we saw him.
Speaking of her, I'll talk about her in a minute, Luke. That's your next segue.
Okay.
But you know, I could see if it was a situation like that where she's like, okay, this is par for the course. My dad does this, you know, but this just makes no sense. It makes no sense whatsoever. And I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
And what is this romantic thing, this romantic undercurrent they're playing? I think that these soaps, all of them, all eight of them, are so offensive to adoptive families. Memo to daytime. Adoption doesn't mean it's okay to look at your adopted sister's boobies. It's not, adoption is not, ooh, there's more people to date. It's Michael and Christina are brother and sister.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. They're making him look like a boyfriend and not a brother.
You know, it's like Sonny is that boy's father for all intent and purposes. Yes, AJ is his biological father. He is also a Quartermain. That it's not either or. He's both a Quartermain and he's a Corinthos, but he is that girl's brother. It's gross to even play up any time.
Well, scene too.
But no, you know, fans have, if you noticed it on our boards and on the rest of the boards, the fans have gotten desensitized to this stuff. That's the first thing people will say. Well, they're not really cousins. I saw that so much with Days. They're not really brothers.
No, I see that with Devon and Lily, and I don't care if that boy is it's still gross. I agree with you, it's gross.
Yeah, I mean, adoption is still fan. By that token, Devon could screw Drew if she comes back. Well, she's not really his mom. It's just wrong. It's like, that's just not go ahead and cast two other people for Michael, you know, a girl for Michael to be in a relationship with. Don't have him be with his sister. It's just nasty, and we don't want that. I don't want it. I don't, you know. But
I don't want it either.
JB, you said you had
that girl up. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what messed little Christina's mind up. She must have snuck down the stairs and saw her stepdaddy screwing her sister on the floor like a wild dog.
Break it up back.
I can't believe you're taking back to that.
Now, okay, You know what? I've enjoyed Sam a little bit more because they've kept her away from Jason, and because, you know, I like her relationship with her sisters, all kidding aside, but I'm just going to go here. It does not make it easier for me to feel like there isn't a systematic plan to keep Sam buck naked. There is no way. Okay, Jason called her. She's undercover. She has to rush over. She would have put some clothes on before she drove through the dark Port Charles night in a teddy.
I'm pretty sure she has a change of clothes in her trunk.
You never know. Was it her or Carly that didn't shower?
She didn't shower, but still, it's just. And I'm not hating on the character because I know where it's going. They're getting them back together, but it would be a lot better if it was more organic than that. Yeah. I mean, fans of Sam McCall should find that stupid and offensive and orchestrated. She comes over there in her panties and some high-heeled shoes, and I'm sorry, but Sam McCall can walk up some stairs, and that girl knows how to walk in high-heeled hooker shoes. I'm sorry. Don't make me believe she couldn't walk up those stairs. No, it's just, it's stupid. It's like, and then having Jason all, he's seen all of it before. Why is he all, you know, befuddled? It's just, here we go. It's like, let's go ahead and orchestrate. You know, Liz and Jason's relationship was not orchestrated. It was never forced. It was never, you know, overly scripted. I mean, it all came organically, and here we go. And, you know, and I'm going to be honest. I did enough bitching about that last year, so I'm not going to do a bunch of bitching about the inevitable. It's going to happen. And, you know, but that does not entice me to talk about this show, write about this show, blog about this show, is knowing that they're going to force this, you know, Brenda Bott storyline, because that's exactly what it was. I don't care what people say.
Was it you who said that Sam McCall is the most successful of the Brenda Botts?
Yes, she is the most successful of the Brenda Botts, but they took the long story they had planned for Vanessa Marcel and Steve Burton, and they incorporated it into, which they do that a lot on soaps, but it's just, I'm sorry. And it became more than that, but it's, I'm sorry. I don't want to see Sam and Jason eat up GH again.
Well, so. on that note, we're going to final thoughts. Bernard, what's your final thought?
My final thought is I thought Laura Wright was absolutely hysterical when she confronted the country club guy and told him that she would kick his ass if he didn't stop acting like a pompous ass himself. She just brought that scene, and I just thought it was funny as hell, even though I had tons of problems with her then calling Sonny to come over and...
Ooh, I did.
Let me say that I love that she did it, but the problem that I had was after all of these weeks of the mob isn't the way, and don't get in the mob, thing, and no mob. And so she uses the mob.
Well, you got to do it for what it's worth.
Well, you know what?
I love the scene, and I love how Hugh Sonny came strutting in with Milo and Max looking like, so what? You know?
Oh, you got a problem with my kid? See, I love that.
You know what? I have to agree with Jay, because the whole thing about Sonny signing away, Morgan, Sonny signing him away because the mob is not the way, and then all of a sudden, boop, 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 yo, Sonny, roll up here with your crew. I don't know. Oh, Goosa.
Okay. That was a hood move.
It was a hood move, but I'm like, oh.
Jillian, final thought?
Please stop with the Spinelli forcing Maxie to get married. Let them chill. They just got, like, you know what I'm saying? Didn't they just finally, like, get it together? Didn't they? Somebody?
They got it together several times.
But, you know, I mean, you're just trying to force that jive down. Enough, all right? Enough. Oh, and the Dominic Dante thing, I kind of find it funny, and I think it's hot that he and Johnny are fighting to be in that organization while Johnny is banging his mother and he is Sonny's son. Ah, love it to death. Love it. I like that.
Jamie?
I'm liking Dante, too. Like him. I'm glad they didn't go with Pelfrey. Sometimes it's better to make a star role than bring in a star role. I loved my little Maxie and Spinelli this week. The whole storyline, it was like this well-written romantic comedy in this sea of ugliness just sprinkled in. You know, I love the little moments when Maxie goes over and is like, can you guys help me? You know, she's not talking to Liz, and Liz is like, oh, you know, and I'm like, I love those little nods to history. You know, if Rebecca and Ethan weren't there, it would have been even all the much better, but you know, love the romance, and that's what they need. If you know, people talking about tweeting this, you know, if I took that show over, I would zero in on that. These people that work at the hospital and their romantic lives, I'd keep the mob, but I would scale it way back. You know, I don't think there's a need for a Dante and a, okay, I'm gonna get stoned, but you know, pick and choose between all the thugs. I mean, I'd write down all the names of the thugs and cut half of them. It's like, and cut the storyline in half. And it's like, cut the mob whores, because you don't need five mob whores. It's like, I'm over this. You know, I loved the mob when it was good, when Sonny had to go to Puerto Rico with Brenda to stop Lily's dad from this or that. But it's not. These storylines are just, they're the same old storyline over and over. Some new family, you know, some new ethnic family. Next week it'll be the
black mob. If they get them.
I know, I would be happy. And I've been saying that forever. Why? We could get hood. They need to have a puppy, like a music industry mobster show up in town trying to run poor Charles or something. But, you know, it's just,
take over Ned's company.
There you go.
Mel, final thought?
My final thought is the reveal, well, I guess not more of a reveal. Well, Rex found Stacy with the bag of blood, and he chewed her out. And I did enjoy what he said. He hated her and all this business. But Jean-Paul Lavoisier, if you do not start doing your job and acting and making me believe these words you'll say, you're going to have to go.
So. I told you he looked like he wanted to punch that girl.
Yeah,
well,
for like
that's probably
seconds.
Real life. You know, these people are upset with this storyline, and I don't blame them, but you can't, you know. And Farrah brought it this week. Farrah came back to life, because Farrah was like gleeping it in, you know, sending holographic messages in, you know. But now it's JP. JP is just like, I'm tired of this. You can see it in every performance. It's like, and you know, it's like, oh God,
I really want
Melissa Fumero. Where are you, Melissa?
Itchy Bangs, return to us.
Get this plastic girl off our TV so that we can like Rex and Gigi again.
Well, my final thought, I agree with you. I liked Spixie this last week in their scenes together, but as I mentioned on the Performer of the Week podcast, Spinelli by himself sometimes is just too over the top for me. But I agree with
you. You like your divas over the top, but you don't like the nice, well-acted dorks over the top.
We would encourage you to email us at podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. Comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Deuces.
Bye.
Bye.
Y'all come back. Now you're here.